This is a talk about NeuroBrain, and I don't know if you have already heard about it, or maybe already use it. It would be most interesting to me if I knew a little bit about your reasons for coming here. So is anyone here from Linux distributions or other software projects who... Okay, I see lots of hands. It's nice, some real listeners. You're not just end up here and find some quiet place for work. okay, I'm trying to give a real overview talk, not get too deep into the technical things. Of course, the technical things will be interesting to you, to some of you. But at first, I want to try to give an overview and get the subject started for you. Because if I really start with all the technical stuff, then I can go on for hours. And my problem is that I'm the principal developer of this stuff, and so I'm always deeply buried in the technical details, and it's very hard for me to look at it from a higher level. So actually, yesterday I spent a few hours with a friend and tried. As a friend who doesn't know anything about it, and try to use his help to get it onto a better level that doesn't leave out the blue and only talks about technical details and features and stuff. So, having said that, I'm basically going to talk about what is NeuroBrain, what can it do, and why would you want to use it? And I'll give a small example. So NeuroBrain is a download redirector. It handles HTTP requests that come from web browsers, download programs. So basically users sitting on their computer who want to download a piece of software or disk image or something. And if this is a popular thing that they want to download, then there's always the problem that the bandwidth of servers is small and not enough, and so you have to spread out the load onto maybe the whole world and different servers. So you need some kind of framework or software to keep that in order and to maintain that and to keep it running. NeuroBrain's kind of a framework, different pieces that enable you to do that. One piece is the actual redirector, which sits in the middle and gets these requests from users and bounces them away by HTTP redirects to other machines, to mirroring servers. Servers who mirror the content. And then there are monitoring tools and tools for exploring the content on each mirroring server, so you know what's on them. And probably more, but I try to not get too technical. But having said that, feel free to ask at any time, interrupt me, because this talk is not for me being feeling well here, but it's for you to answer questions or to learn something interesting which might help you. So NeuroBrain is in use since about 3 years, and it has proved to be very solid, secure. It's secure. It's written and programmed with security in mind from the start. It's very modular, so you could take parts of it and deploy them on their own, or you could for example, you could completely replace the database that is behind it, behind the scene, with another one and adapt that to the one part that bounces off the requests. And for example, one example I'm quite proud of is that SourceForge uses an algorithm or an infrastructure, a database that I've built that handles the association of users' IP addresses with certain networks and autonomous systems, and puts that in relation to the mirror servers, network relation, network location, and finds near mirrors by that way. So this is one part of mirror brain which is optional, but it can also be used on its own, and SourceForge is using that part. They're not using mirror brain because they already had a huge infrastructure built over the years, but it is something. Then mirror brain is fully open source, so it's there for anyone to use. And it's actively developed, although I must say that I would like to see more development, because so far much of that is on my shoulders, and welcome any kind of contributions, like good ideas, bad ideas, good code, bad code, and features, and just comments. So getting a little bit more detailed, MirrorBrain does the monitoring, it does load balancing for the requests that are spread out, farmed out to all the mirroring servers. You can tune it, you can shift load from here to there, and to optimize for big mirrors, small mirrors, and sometimes mirrors are not mirroring the complete file tree that you have to offer. They are maybe just mirroring the last release, or maybe only AMD architecture or something like that. And MirrorBrain handles that automatically because it periodically scans mirrors and basically looks at the file list and stores that in the database. So it always knows where to send a client. And on top of that, it chooses the mirror by its priority that you can tune, how much requests it should give, how much load, and things like that. There are quite a lot of tunables. Not everything is hard-coded, so that's one of the flexible parts of MirrorBrain. For finding the best mirror server for a client, MirrorBrain uses geolocation and also global routing data, which is basically BGP4 routing tables. Geolocation puts a client into a country. It tells you, okay, this client is coming from France, from Belgium, from the United States. But then you can often do a finer match on certain networks. For example, in Germany, there's a huge network between all the universities, and they are all in the same autonomous system. So it probably makes sense to keep a client, keep a request inside this network. And so that's what MirrorBrain does, because it can find out from which network the client is asking. Another even more narrow case would be university in Brussels, ULB, has lots of clients who want to download OpenOffice, and if they run an OpenOffice org mirror, then MirrorBrain can see that it's actually the same network prefix where the client and the mirror server are located in, so all these requests could go to this mirror and not to the next one. Of course, this is a fine-grained mirror selection that only makes sense if you actually have lots of mirrors, because otherwise the chance that you have a client from the same network is quite low. If you have only 5 mirrors in the world, then yeah.
You have to decide that
on
the mirror level or on the client level. The granularity.
You mean the granularity?
So if I am the University of Brussels.
That's automatically, in the way that this mirror is automatically chosen as the best mirror for this client. On the other hand, that doesn't mean that the mirror is only for clients from that network. But you can use a switch and switch it into network only mode, and then it will get only those requests and no other requests. Or you can have another similar switch where you can say this mirror should get only requests from the same autonomous system, or next level only from this country, or only from this continent, and yeah. So that's a good way to limit the load that certain mirrors get. For example, a mirror in Indonesia, you don't want to send requests from anywhere else to them, just from their country. So it's very important to encapsulate that. Thanks for the question. So next thing to mention would be that over these mirror selection, which is kind of a complicated process in itself, another interesting feature is that Neurobrain can generate meta links for download clients, or it can integrate peer-to-peer torrent data. So where it can get the file and where it can fail over and try different mirrors or download in parallel, and it knows by the cryptographic hashes in the meta link how to verify if really the right the correct content is arriving. And so that's very powerful, hopefully more used in the future. Metalinks are being standardized right now, and I hope that in a few weeks there will be an official RFC for the format that it's written in.
You can also point out that it also supports multiple protocols as well in the MetaList.
Yes, Metalink also supports multiple protocols. And so you could have FTP mirrors, HTTP mirrors, or even other sources.
Also be torrents.
Yes, and that's also where the torrents come in, because you can include the torrent link. And actually, it would be cool, someone suggested a few days ago that Mirrorbrain might be able to just automatically create torrent files, because Mirrorbrain already has it. Infrastructure to create hashes, cryptographic hashes of all the, for all the files, and keep them in some kind of tree or database. So it would be easy to, at the same time, to just create torrent files, because nowadays it's usually a manual process. So it would be.
You wouldn't need to create a torrent file if you have a hash, you can just create a magnet link.
I'm not sure.
Need to replace torrent files in the near future.
I'm not too sure about magnet links.
You know what I'm saying? The magnet link itself is based explicitly on the hash of the file.
Yes. It's basically a hash. Yes. Nothing else, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then it uses the hash to find that on the peers.
Yeah, I'm not sure if magnet links are have the full power, because if it's only one hash, it's only the hash of the complete thing. And the piecewise hashes that you have in torrent files or in metalinks.
It ends up using the initial hash to find the rest of it.
And where does it find it? In some kind of database where you can.
From the peers.
Okay, but that requires that
somebody has it.
Gives out the files and correctly creates the hashes. So you don't have control then.
If you download an entire file via HTTP, you don't have piecewise
caches
anyway.
But for large files, there's a reason to want them, because if something goes wrong, then if you only have one hash, then you have to retransmit the entire file, and if you have the piecewise hashes, you can quite robustly and quickly correct, just get the missing or the wrong parts again. But anyway, magnet links, including magnet links into the meta links, is possible, and I would also like to do that, because it sounds like another good way to get the clients, get some more download programs to use it. One thing to not to forget is that Mirrorbrain works in the background, meaning that the user doesn't actually notice anything, but that also means that the user has no direct way to influence the behavior or to decide something or to override a mirror selection decision. So basically, that is a requirement that MirrorBrain just works. Otherwise, the user could have a problem. Yes, question?
Yes, there's a question about that, because what happens if you place multiple concurrent requests on some files? Let's say you have a MirrorBrain server, you have three files, you place three requests. Now, that might end up, MirrorBrain might end up getting the three different servers.
Yeah.
So is there a way to prevent that? So let's just say I want one client to get only the redirect of the same server. So once I chose this server, I wanted to redirect the same one for all its next session, let's say for the next hour or next day, that it won't get it from different servers. Is that possible?
Yes and no. That was implemented in MirrorBrain at the beginning, because when we wrote it, or when I wrote it, we had that in mind. We tried to minimize confusion between different levels on mirrors by making clients stick to one mirror. Once one mirror was chosen, all further requests were sent to the same mirror, if possible at all. Because maybe if a file is missing, then we'd still try another one. But after doing that for maybe a year, I found that it doesn't yield any advantage anymore. And in fact, sometimes when mirrors are broken, it could mean that you are sent to the broken mirror again and again, and you don't get a new chance to just get another mirror next time. So the advantage of a bit of variation grew bigger than the perceived advantage about sticking to one mirror. It's still possible to compile in this. It's a compile switch, and you need an additional library and memcache daemon. It's still possible to do it that way with MirrorBrain. And but actually, nowadays I think about the contrary. I would like to add another, or to bring this feature back, but in its reverse form. So it always picks another mirror. So if you do the same request twice, once more and once more, it usually means that you have a problem. And if MirrorBrain chooses another mirror, different mirror for the user the next time, it's usually a good thing. So maybe you can bring this feature back in both these forms, because I think depending on the content and the state of the mirrors, both ways could be advantages.
Yes, I would like to respond to that reply, because it would be an interesting feature, because when we have mirrors that are, let's say, in constant flux, so there are maybe five files requested replaced at 1 o'clock, then 10 files are replaced an hour later, and so on. So then there's a database file tracking these, and you get a database file from one mirror that's sent an hour ago, tells you a file name, look on a different mirror, the mirror has the older version, you just keep getting final found errors all the time, because you just happen to fetch the database from one very recent mirror, and get a file from a mirror that syncs once a day, and not every hour. So
exactly.
For us, it would actually be a very important feature to just keep reliability of for the downloads, to just have it stick to one mirror in these cases.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people will just end up having final found errors all the time, because there's really much going on and many files replaced in very regular intervals.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, metalinks for that.
Yeah, metalinks can be a solution for that. Actually, OpenSUSE now uses metalinks also for that purpose, reason.
Do you use it with Zipper?
Yes, with libzip and metalinks since half a year now, everything is done over metalinks. That also means that on the development tree, which is constant flux, the clients just have enough long mirrorless to try, and they will find it somewhere else, and they have the hashes to verify that it's actually the file. But there are some strategies that we maybe could talk about later in detail, because it's a long subject, to deal with that. For example, not delivering every file over mirrors, but also deliver certain files from your own servers, and more. But it's getting complex, but it's definitely something I would like to discuss with you further. But if that's the principal problem of keeping a list or a state of the mirror, because if it's in quickly in flux, then of course it's exactly what happens. And the faster the replacements and changes are happen, the bigger is the problem. So yes, there was another question.
Have you thought about implementing kind of mirror brain implementation that does not do HTTP redirects, but instead does a thing like a GeoDNS? So when you fetch multiple files, you don't have to be request a redirect for every file.
Yeah.
You just get the right IP address and that's all.
Yeah.
Because right now GeoDNS is quite limited. It doesn't have all that feature that mirror brain.
Yes.
Have you thought about the possibility of that?
Yes, I had a crazy idea to actually implement mirror brain, or to re-implement it in the DNS protocol instead of HTTP, and it would actually be quite feasible. Explore that a bit, but problem is that it wouldn't be usable in so many settings. So it would be very usable for a Linux distributor, the special Linux download client, and it would save the client quite some round trips and stuff, and you could use IP addresses instead of host names and stuff. But I think it wouldn't be worthwhile to go that route, because then it's not interesting for the larger community of content providers and mirror operators. Then it's only for you, and you probably won't find anyone else who can share with you this special setup. On the other hand, you can. My current proposition would be to combine GeoDNS and MirrorBrain by first having a MirrorBrain server on each continent, for example, and then using GeoDNS just to find the MirrorBrain server for the client. Because then the client goes from here to the United States only one time for DNS lookup, gets back to MirrorBrain server in Germany, whatever, and then everything goes to there. So HTTP would be kept on continent or within the country, whatever. And that at the same time would be a good way to have a failover set up, and if a MirrorBrain server needs to be maintained or it dies for various reasons, then you can just flip the DNS, change the DNS configuration. If you have a low TTL, low time to live, then like 10 minutes, then you can just flip it over, and then all the traffic goes to another mirror brain server, which is farther away, but still works.
Related to that one there, doing the HTTP redirect side is the only way of handling mirrors that have partial content. If you go get just pure GeoDNS.
Yes.
It's going to say everybody to the same mirror. Let's say that mirror only has part of the data.
Yeah, but you could do a DNS request that directly refers you to the mirror, but could only use IP addresses, so no name-based virtual hosting, and then it's getting difficult already.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to add one thing to that question, that whole topic. So have you thought about, in addition to the simple HTTP redirect, adding a special mirror brain protocol that would just say, well, if an application knows about mirror brain, it doesn't have to work in the background, but just can be aware that there's a mirror brain there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will tell your host name and say, try that mirror, and you could explicitly ask, well, that mirror doesn't work, give me another one.
Yeah.
So that's as an application, but in addition to the HTTP.
Yes, yes, I thought I went this way, and then I thought, okay, I need to transmit this the data somehow to the client, so the client has a way to decide on its own, and maybe to provide feedback. And then I found that this format that I designed for transmitting this information was exactly what Metalink guys already had done. So I realized, wow, I had the same idea, or they had the same idea, and it existed already, so I scrapped my text-based format and then just used Metalink since then. And Metalink tries to do all that, but there's no feedback part involved. But that would be very interesting, especially for a Linux distributor who has all the infrastructure to collect data, to gather data like that from basically really millions of clients. Could do some interesting network studies, and you could quickly get feedback when network stops working there, and so it would be highly interesting. And just simple things like mirror monitoring. You could have a distributed mirror monitoring which is based on feedback by clients.
Yes, yes. So basically you use Metalinks and extend it by just the client to Metalinks. The client says, hey, I use that exact mirror and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it just will tell you that. Or
yep.
That mirror and files were missing.
Yep.
You collect that. So you would have just to design one side of the protocol. Metalinks already exists and you design
yeah.
a feedback part then as a maybe even HTTP post or something,
yeah.
something very simple.
On the other hand, it can look very difficult. It can look very different from different clients' views. So there are always other bottlenecks in between the clients and the mirror. So it's kind of hard to actually, if the client reports, oh, this mirror doesn't work well, it's quite hard to say if it's really due to the mirror or if it doesn't work well for other people.
Yes, if you have a big amount of data, then those shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
You could also purchase that some new field to the Metalink about send it more
feedback field in the
Metalink.
Yeah. I think I saw another hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that in this case, if you want to touch similar data from the clients, it would be easier to deny the service that
yeah.
just file several. Hundreds of clients that would have known that almost
yes.
mm-hmm. you wouldn't
set yeah. It would be quite hard to do it very simple and very robust to actually prevent something like that, I think. So it gets hairy, so maybe it's not a good plan to follow. But it's still a good idea to think about and have in mind maybe some things that can be done. Okay, we don't have too much time left, maybe 10 minutes. So, very interesting discussion, much more interesting than the mostly generic things I would have told you. Very thankful for that. So, there's one short slide that shows the, I think, 8 or 9 projects that use MirrorBrain, not by now. Free Software Foundation is my secret pride. Especially since I didn't know about it at all, and they got it running without my help even. And I don't understand that. It must be really clever, probably twice as clever as me. So OpenOffice.org is switching right now. Okay, it's a long time process, but it will be finally finished soon. And I wanted to do a quick case study about the switch of OpenOffice.org from their previous solution to the new solution, MirrorBrain. The previous solution was not very good. It chose random mirrors from over the whole world. And it also didn't scale very well. And what I consider the biggest problem is that it was not really in development, so nobody was there to fix it, nobody was interested to fix it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have necessarily been a bad solution, but it was kind of abandoned. And that is the worst thing that can happen for a software framework like that, because if nobody's working on that, then it's going to bit rot. And so if I leave SUSE, and I have left SUSE last fall, then what would happen if that would only be an in-house development? And
you left SUSE?
I left SUSE, yes.
Okay. Where are you working
at? Right now I'm looking for a job. So we'll take offers after. Yeah, so from the start of the project, I tried to do something rather that can be shared with other people. So open, flexible, not tied to some SUSE thing. So hopefully that works out even more. There's one thing I wanted to demonstrate. because it illustrates an interesting point about mirror selection. Three ways of doing it. This was the first mode that OpenOffice.org was using so far. It was a random, the user here in Mozambique, this is the tip of the south tip of Africa, the user, which was in Mozambique, was sent to Sumnero, and it happened to myself as well that I downloaded OpenOffice.org from Brazil a few times. So that's obviously not very not bearable. Many solutions just use GeoIP to select the maybe the closest mirror or mirror in the same country or the same region. And in this case, that would lead to a mirror in South Africa or a mirror in Kenya to be selected for a user in Mozambique. But the problem is that international interconnectivity between these countries is very bad, but they all have satellite links to Europe and to the States. So what needs to be done is that you actually need to send the user to a mirror in Germany. And this is something which is implemented in MirrorBrain as additional configuration. You can basically tweak arbitrarily that certain country is to be used as mirror for client in a totally different country. That tries to reflect or to enable you to reflect these international links. And one thing I also learned is that this is very hard to acquire, this kind of knowledge, because you only learn it through user reports that you stumble over by accident. I once read this quote. It's actually someone who posted that on the OpenOffice mailing list, and this is where the example comes from. It's user in Mozambique who needed 3 weeks to download the 120 megabytes of OpenOffice.org file.
Like
finally from a Canadian mirror.
Was that like from that specific mirror, or was it that he had I tried to download it and then I was bored.
He tried there, he was desperate to get it, and he actually ended up asking about that on the download distribution mailing list.
Yeah,
so.
But I was wondering also, like, was he then able to like to resume a download, or did he have to do it over and over?
They don't. He tried, but probably he didn't even know if the parts were broken or not, so he probably had to try again, and resuming it can be difficult with the client. I saw another question. Ah, okay. So basically, in 5 minutes, we have to make room for the next talk, and I think I have said most of the things, and I have some quotes that give good motivation to keep going with MirrorBrain. And yes, so more information can be found on the website, of course, mirrorbrain.org. You will find mailing lists and feature lists and stuff. And the mailing list would be a very good place to get in contact. Also, there's an IRC channel and where I also hang around most of the time.
Is that different from the one you announced, or you wanted to have share mailing list distribution?
Yeah, there on the mailing list page you will find two kind of mailing lists. There's the MirrorBrain development mailing list, and then there is a generic mailing list which is called discuss@mirrorbrain.org. It's a mailing list not just for MirrorBrain, but I had the idea to establish that as a place for discussing general mirror issues, like discussing strategies for redirecting traffic or syncing mirrors, or also a place for mirror admins, because there seems to be no other forum in the world where mirror admins and content providers talk to each other. There are only the project-specific mailing lists like OpenOffice, Fedora, Debian. They all have a mirror mailing list, but there's no interconnection. And there's no place to discuss like these strategies that we have discussed here. So there's a mailing list that you find there for that purpose, not just for nothing to do with MirrorBrain. But then there are also the normal MirrorBrain user list for everything which concerns MirrorBrain. There's code, of course, and yeah, please.
You talked about how MirrorBrain helps the user, whoever wants to find the CW mirror. Is there anything about the actual mirroring process inside? Or?
You mean information on the, or you?
No, either on the software or on the. For example, do I set up all the mirrors myself, or is it geared towards a model where I just provide the software and mirrors all around the world take it and they just register themselves?
It would both work. You can set up mirrors yourself. I know several setups where people have done that, just using like a company or just distribute stuff to free in-house mirrors in different countries. And on the other hand, you can, if you have a popular project that is mirrored anyway from mirrors all over the world, then you can just enter their data into your database, and then you what you need to send clients to them. So there's no infrastructure for mirrors entering themselves into the database. And that's something that should happen in the future, because it was very interesting. I have some demo that I can maybe show to interested people later, because now I'm running out of time.
Yes. Sorry.
But on the other hand, yeah, I hope that we can maybe talk more about it next stop. So if there are no acute questions, then I would say time over and thank you very much.